And what is that? It's called Yom Kippur in the Jewish language, but I'm going to talk about that today, one of the feasts that the Lord told Israel to observe, and we want to look into that. Like I said, you pray that the Lord will anoint me. I certainly don't have a lot of knowledge about these things, but I do want to know, what is it that God is saying through these feasts that he told Israel to observe? So let's just bow our heads and pray together with him, would you? Heavenly Father, I pray for your anointing upon me. I'm only a vessel. I'm just something that you can use if I surrender to you. I pray, God, that you will speak through me and that you will speak to each of our hearts. Anoint me by your Holy Spirit, O God. In Jesus' name, I thank you. Anoint the hearts and the minds to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. We know that it's considered to be the most important holiday in the Jewish faith. And why is that? It marks the culmination of the 10 days of awe. There were 10 days that they were in awe. In other words, they were repenting and asking God, search me, is there anything in my life? This is before Jesus came that they did this, and God told them to do that. And then the period of introspection and repentance followed after Rosh Hashanah. The first Yom Kippur took place after the Israelites' exodus from Egypt. They came out of Egyptian bondage, and they arrived at Mount Sinai, where God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. Descending from the mountain, Moses found the people. Remember how he came? He went up there. God gave them the commandments. God spoke to him. God was near to him, close to him. The people had, in Egypt, they had worshipped idols. And they came out, and then Moses was removed from them. And they said, well, we want a God that we can look at. We want a God we can see. Isn't that the way a lot of people are today? They say, oh, no, I don't want a God I can't see. I don't understand. You show me God, and then I'll serve him. Well, that's what they were saying. And so Moses came down from the mountain, and he found the people worshiping a golden calf. You know the story how that his brother Aaron surrendered. He blamed it on the people. He said, well, I had to give them something to worship. They needed something, and they melted all the gold, their earrings and everything, and made this molten calf. What a horrible thing to worship something that is made like that with no power, and yet they were doing it. And Moses was so angry that he shattered these tablets, the commandments, the Ten Commandments that God had written in stone. He threw them down in anger when he saw what had happened. Fortunately, God rewrote them again for him. But anyway, I think about how awful it is when we wander away from the true and the living God and we say, I want something I can see, that I can touch, that I can handle. Because the things of the world, the things you can touch and feel, they're going to pass away. The things of this world will pass away. Hall of Famer Sandy Koufax, I'm not sure if I'm saying that name right, Koufax or Koufax. He was one of the most famous Jewish athletes in American sports. He made national headlines when he refused to pitch in the first game of the 1965 World Series because it fell on Yom Kippur, on the Day of Atonement. He was a devout Jewish young man, and he said, I will not do something like that on this holy day. And I think how devoted he was to that, because he remembered the plan that God had given. Of course, that is different now, but he has fulfilled it in a different way. During biblical times, Yom Kippur was the only day on which the high priest could enter the most holy place, the Holy of Holies, and the inner sanctum of the temple in Jerusalem. Only on the Day of Atonement. And there he sprinkled blood from sacrificed animals on the Ark of the Covenant, which contained the Ten Commandments. In that Ark, the Ten Commandments was in there, as well as the bud, Aaron's rod that budded, and the manna that God fed them. And it's interesting how that when they were in the wilderness and God sent the manna, he said, it will not keep overnight. You can't wait until tomorrow. You eat it today. And you know what? That's true in spiritual things. Today is the day of salvation. It's not that we don't have any guarantee that tomorrow will be available for us to seek the Lord. But anyway, so there he sprinkled blood from the sacrificed animals on the Ark of the Covenant, which contained the Ten Commandments. The high priest made a blood atonement and asked for God's forgiveness on behalf of the people of Israel. He asked, Jews consider Yom Kippur and the days leading up to it a time for prayer, good deeds, reflecting on past mistakes, and making amends with others. They reflect on their lives, the days of awe, the 10 days of awe before this Feast of Atonement. They say, what have I done wrong? I need to make things right. I think sometimes it might be good for us to reflect and say, wait a minute, do I have bitterness in my heart against somebody? Is there something I need to make right? It is so heart-rending to think of how many people hold bitterness against someone that needs to be forgiven. And so they did this. And so that was why that Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement, was a special sacred day, sometimes referred to even as the Sabbath of Sabbaths, the most holy, more holy than a regular Sabbath. And before the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, the high priest performed elaborate sacrificial ceremony in the temple, successfully confessing his own sins, the sins of the priests, and the sins of all Israel. He was clothed in white linen. He had to have special attire, and then he entered the Holy of Holies. Remember, they tied a rope on his leg or on the garment and with pomegranates. And if that stopped moving, then and they stopped, they knew that he was dead, because if there was any sin in his life, he would be stricken dead. God cannot look upon sin. Aren't you glad you weren't called to that vocation? But the ceremony concluded when a goat, the scapegoat, symbolically carrying the sins of Israel, was driven to its death in the wilderness. Yom Kippur is significant because it is a time for introspection, where we look and reflect and check our spiritual lives. We need to do that in our lives even today. God wants us to stop, take a look, and say, God, where is it? Do you have something you want to change in me? In Exodus, the 23rd chapter, it's God told the children of Israel, said, 3 times a year you're to celebrate a festival to me. Celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is Passover. And we know these different feasts. Celebrate the Feast of Harvest, which is Pentecost. And celebrate the Feast of Ingathering, which is Tabernacles. He says 3 times a year all the men are to appear before the Sovereign Lord. He says, I'm setting up some appointments for you. Some people aren't very careful about keeping appointments, but this was an appointment. He said, you absolutely must keep these appointments. The interesting thing about these three feasts is that they are all three-dimensional. These feasts, like Passover, it covers redemption and cleansing. It's got three in it: Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits. We know that Passover was the death of Jesus. He died on Passover, on that feast. And then the unleavened bread, he lay in the tomb. He was the sinless Lamb of God lying in the tomb. And first fruits is when he was resurrected. Pentecost is also a feast with three dimensions. It's the celebration of God's provision in the natural realm and the first fruits of the wheat harvest they had. And it was Pentecost that God chose to, it was on Pentecost that God chose to give the Torah to Moses on Mount Sinai. So it's not only a provision in the natural realm, but it's a physical sustenance and it's a spiritual sustenance. Pentecost is when the heavens opened and God released his teaching to men. You remember how that Pentecost happened, and it still is available to us today. And God released, that Spirit of God was poured out. Passover pictures redemption and cleansing, and Pentecost is a celebration of God's provision. The Feast of Tabernacles is made up of three different appointed times, the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Tabernacles is coming into God's glory, when one day we will be in the presence of God. After Passover and Pentecost, finally in the fall, that's what we're coming into now. We're going to be coming into that. We come to the Feast of Tabernacles. It's all about the glory of God. Israel had come out of Egypt, and they were dwelling in the desert in little tabernacles and tents. God looked down and saw his people in tabernacles, and he said, "Build one for me also. I'll come down. I'll live with you." He says that to us today. Come, I'll live with you. If you'll invite me, I'll come and I'll live with you. And they built a tabernacle. You remember how that Peter, James, and John went up on the Mount of Transfiguration. And there Jesus was transfigured before them. A glory was around him. And Peter, James, and John, they and Moses, and Elijah was there. And there were taverns. And Peter said, let's just build a place for us to stay here. You know, we'd like to stay in God's presence. He wants us to be in his presence, but he will come here and dwell with us as we're here on earth. We see a process every year. God wants to make sure all our sins are covered by the blood, that we are thoroughly cleansed of impurity, that we have faith released to lay hold of the provision and the blessing of God, that we're able to move into his presence to experience his glory. That's a cycle God wants you to go through every year, because no matter how you try to drift, God will draw you back if you will allow him to do that. As you look at this, you see a picture of the tabernacle of Moses. He had three courts, the outer courtyard, and then the inner, and there where the blood of the lamb was spilled out on the altar. And then there was a laver where you're cleansed of impurities. And then you come into the holy place, which is a celebration of God's provision. There is the table of showbread as the sign of God's gracious forgiveness, that God loves us so much, he even brings forth bread from the earth. There's the menorah that symbolizes the provision of the illumination of the Holy Spirit. And the altar of incense that pictures the provision of access to God in prayer. But then there's a veil. On the other side of that veil is the Holy of Holies, where the glory of God dwells. There is God's glory is on the other side. But Jesus paid the complete and final atonement for all of our sins, past, present, and future. There is no further atoning that any of us needs to do. None. He did it all. Yeshua, or Jesus alone, purchased an atonement for us with his blood. No other blood can atone for our sins. I'm reminded of what Peter said to a man named Simon as he was ministering, the apostle Peter. And he thought this man named Simon said he thought he could buy salvation or gifts of the Spirit and have the power of God. And Peter said in Acts, the 8th chapter, he said, "Your money perish with you because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money." You cannot purchase God's favor by money or by any works of righteousness that you or I do. On the Day of Atonement, unsaved Jews go through certain rituals, all with the hope of having their names written in the Book of Life for another year. Every year, if they were qualified and they were atoned for, then they would have another year of their name in the Book of Life. In a ritual, some Orthodox Jews purchase a chicken. I heard Sid Roth telling about how that he was a child and he went into the temple and he said this, he got so tired of hearing all of the Hebrew that he couldn't understand and everything, but he was looking forward to there would be a time, finally, when they would get good things to eat, and he could endure it. But he said, my father had, they took a chicken with his head off, and they had it over their heads, and that blood would run down. He said, that's to atone for my sins. There are people still today that believe there's something they can do to atone for their sins. But the Day of Atonement is only Jesus could fulfill that. Some people hope to transfer their sins to this animal. Jesus said in Matthew 15, you have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. You may have a tradition that under the old covenant, you say, well, I've got to do it this way. I can't come under the new, but Christ gave us a new covenant. According to the word of God, Torah states that the only way Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement, can be accomplished is for the high priest to take the blood of a young bull and enter behind the veil of the Holy of Holies and apply the blood to the mercy seat. When Jesus died, the thick curtain that made the Holy of Holies off limits to any and everyone except the high priest on Yom Kippur, it split in two from the top to the bottom. Our sins no longer separate us from God because Jesus' sacrifice was the one-time sacrifice that was adequate. And for all, for everyone, he does not base it on whether you are a Jew, whether you are a Gentile, whether you are green, yellow, black. It's for everyone. This atonement gives access to God to everyone who accepts his atonement as truth. That's the key. When we accept Jesus as the truth, you remember, and for the cleansing of sin, you remember the thief that hung on the cross. He did not go through a long ritual that said, I've done this or I've done that, and I need forgiveness and everything. But instead, he just said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He was recognizing that Jesus was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We must recognize that he is the King of Kings. The church must understand what God intended for his people so that they are not deceived. God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We need to know that Jesus is the sacrifice. There are many people today that believe that something they do or don't do. You've heard it when you invite someone to church. They say, I couldn't go. The church will fall in because I'm not worthy of that. None of us are worthy. Jesus alone is worthy. He has made us his own children. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, goes on to say more. I wonder if God might say to this Christian leader or any leader who violates the sanctity of atonement, because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being my priest. I just wonder, I suppose we'll have to wait and see. I wonder, now this is, if somebody is telling you that you have to do works to earn your salvation. My grandpa used to sit in a chair, a rocking chair, listen to the radio. These preachers would come on, they'd say, now if you want a blessing, you want this from God, you just send this amount of money, $1,000, and designate it, God will bless you. That's not what God is basing it on. We give, and we give it as unto the Lord. But it's not that we give, and it's not labeled, I'm going to receive a special blessing because of it. But we do get blessed. God takes care of us. We get physical and spiritual healing. God is faithful to those that love him. And so as we reflect, I know that when we receive communion, usually the person who is leading communion gives us a time to reflect on our lives and say, well, what is it that I'm harboring? Is there anything I need to get rid of? Because the Bible says that some people are actually sick because they don't recognize what the blood of Jesus does for them. They don't recognize it. They don't accept it. It's not by because of something you've done. It's something you haven't done. You have not received that blood atonement and that sacrifice to atone. And so we reflect and we say, and there isn't one of us that could be at that time receiving communion and still be be without any guilt or without any fault. No matter who we are, we can look at our lives and we can, like you could look with a microscope, and it doesn't matter. There is something in our lives that we can be corrected for. God corrects and He chastens those He loves. So whenever we want to be where God wants us to be, when we are submitted to Him, we will receive His blessings. Amen. I thank you today for joining us at Living Waters Community Church. We're so glad that you've joined us for the Word of God. I trust that you will have a glorious week. I trust that you will make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, that you will trust Him. He is the only one that you can go to, and He is the one who paid the price for your atonement. There will be a day when we stand before Him, and we will be judged on that day of atonement. That's when the righteous judge will look and say, I know your works. What are you guilty of, or what have you done? Have you given it all to me? The blood of Jesus is the only covering for our sins. I trust that you will trust Him today. Ask Him to come into your life. As we pray, Heavenly Father, I thank you for the blood of Jesus. I thank you for your sacrifice, O God. I pray that you will just cause us to completely throw ourselves on you and to trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. May you have a blessed week. Well, I'll tell you, but I picked up the wrong notes. I didn't have all the stuff I wanted to present, so I felt so. You'll forgive me. Anyway, I pray that the Lord will help you.